إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he once sat down and he explained to the Sahaba and to the entire Ummah the last person to leave from hellfire, the last person to be released from Jahannam. The Prophet ﷺ said that this man would come, and as he escapes from hellfire, and he's torched and burned from all that, and he walks away from it, limping and falling, trying to escape, until he finally escapes, he turns back to hellfire, and he says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anjani mink. He says, all praises to Allah, Alhamdulillah, who saved me from you, saved me from hellfire. And then he says, by Allah, no one, not a single human being that ever lived, has been blessed with more than what I have been blessed with, to escape from hellfire. And that was the greatest ni'mah that he could imagine, that anybody could ever have gotten. And then at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows a tree to grow nearby him. And when that man sees the tree, he raises his hands and he sees the shade in the tree and he says, Ya Allah, give me that tree. Let me drink from the water of the tree. Let me bask in its shade. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, I am afraid that if I give you the tree, you will ask for more. And definitely, the son of Adam is always asking for more. Always asking for more. He says, Ya Allah, give me the tree, la as'alu ghayraha. Give me that tree, and I promise that I'll never ask for anything more than that one tree. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows him the tree. And while he's in the shade, and thinking that no one else has gotten a blessing such as this beautiful tree being saved from hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands another tree to grow, one more beautiful than the first one. And when he's sitting and looking at his shade and looking at the tree, he sees a more lush tree. He says, Ya Rabbi, that one. Oh Allah, that tree, la as'alu ghayraha. I won't ask for anything more. And then he keeps doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, didn't you promise me that you wouldn't ask for more? And he said, Ya Rabbi, just this last one, la as'alu ghayraha. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows him that tree, bi rahmatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands another tree to grow near the gates of Jannah, one more beautiful than the first two. And then he says, Ya Rabbi, that tree. Oh my Lord, give me that tree. La as'alu ghayraha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, didn't you promise me that you wouldn't ask for any more trees? And he says, this is the last one. Give me that tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy gives him that tree. And when he's basking in the shade and drinking from the water of that beautiful tree, he starts peeking into Jannah. And he starts looking into Jannah. And he starts forgetting about the tree that he's in. And he says, Rabbi adkhilniha. Rabbi adkhilniha. He says, Oh Allah, let me enter into Jannah. Oh Allah, let me enter into Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Abdi. He says, Oh my servant, oh my slave, didn't you promise me that you wouldn't ask for anything more? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he couldn't control himself, but he saw the Jannah and he could only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what will finish me from your pleading? What will finish me from your consistent asking? would it suffice you, would it make you happy if not only did I enter you into Jannah, but I allowed you the riches of everything in the world, وَمِثْلَهَا مَعَ and continue and give you the riches of the world and the entire world as a prize over and over 10 times again. And then the person, he stopped and he locked his eyes and he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِي وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, are you mocking me and you're the Lord of the universe, Rabbi? You're making fun of me? And then the Prophet, the narrator, he started smiling and he was laughing. And he said, ask me why I'm laughing. And they said, why are you laughing? He said, because the Prophet ﷺ was laughing. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, ask me why I'm laughing. We said, what makes you smile, Ya Rasulullah? He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiled when his slave said, أَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِي وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Says, do you mock me? And you are the Lord of the heavens and the earth. You're the Lord of the universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا أستهزئ بك. I'm not mocking you. ولكني على ما أشاء قادر. But rather, I can do whatever I wish, and I have the ability to do it. Dear brothers and sisters, if you turn to any page in the Quran, you'll always see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Jannah and tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is calling the believers towards this Jannah and warning them from the hellfire on every page. But I ask you about this Jannah. Has any of us ever tasted Jannah? Has any of us ever smelt the fragrance of Jannah? Has anyone ever heard the beautiful sounds of Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ said, and if you can imagine anything beautiful, the most beautiful thing in the world, know that Jannah is better than that. And the Hadith al-Qudsi, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said that I've prepared in Jannah for my servants, my pious servants, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, what eyes have never seen before. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, and no ears have ever heard before. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, and no one has ever imagined it. Like they'll say, use your imagination, try to think the unbelievable. It has never come upon the heart of a human being what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for His servants in Jannah. And read in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and no soul knows what's hidden for them from the comfort of the eye, meaning the satisfaction as a reward for they used to do. That they have no idea, مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for them in Jannah. In this dunya, and here in especially in North America, you'll see people that they're always trying to entertain people, and they're always trying to find the best way to have fun and have the most fun. But I tell you, dear brothers and sisters, that there are three types of fun. The first fun is what people think is fun, but actually behind that fun or those few moments of supposed happiness lies the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lies regret in the hereafter, lies sadness, and it's not a true fun. Maybe on the outside, just for those few moments, the person may think he is having fun, but the ramifications, the things that come after that, it truly isn't fun, and that is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person thinks they're having fun by drinking alcohol, or a person thinks they're having fun by committing zina, or a person thinks that they're having fun by maybe not wearing hijab, or having fun with the money from riba and so on, they may think this is fun, but it's not fun in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that person finds out on the day of judgment what happened to that, and in fact these things are called sayyi'ah, a sin, but sayyi'ah because it does evil back to the person, and it's not fun. The second type of fun that people think are the worldly things, the mubahat, the things, the permissible things of the dunya. Someone may be happy with a car, and may be happy with a new toy, and so on, the dunya. But this is cheap fun. This is cheap. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they knew what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them in Jannah. They would know the worthlessness of these material things, and suffice it that all these things will come to an end. And the third type is the kind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for His pious servants in Jannah. And this comes, the true fun is in ta'atul Rahman, is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true satisfaction and happiness comes when a person memorizes a new surah. The true happiness and fun comes when someone is good to his parents, when someone does silatul rahim and tries to gather his family, make up between his family. That's the true fun, when a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person can feel it when someone takes from his pocket, he only has a sandwich, he sees someone without a sandwich and he gives them, he knows and he can feel that fun from inside, can feel the happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ, by the virtue of Allah, وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ, and His mercy, the virtue and mercy of Allah, فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا, let them get their happiness and fun in that, هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, that it's better than all the things that the people try gaining, all the money that people try collecting in their bank accounts. The rahmah and the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khayrun mimma yajma'un, is better than that. And that happens with ta'atullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll see some people traveling and they'll say places like Hawaii and Florida are a vacationer's paradise. And in these paradises that they claim to give the human beings, you'll see things like jacuzzis, and you'll see things like apartments and very big living quarters and cruise ships and so on. But I tell you, one thing that they cannot offer you is immortality. They cannot offer you to live forever. That's something they cannot give you. And if they have a huge buffet and there's a microscopic thing that goes in your stomach and makes you have diarrhea or a stomachache, can they bring you happiness after that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to become sick? They cannot bring you health and they cannot make you live forever. They claim this is a paradise, but in fact it is a naqis paradise, a quote unquote paradise. Because they cannot give these things, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the fana, gives the complete, the eternity that a person has in Jannah. That's why you'll see them always talking about in their fiction novels about the fountain of youth, about someone looking and finding this special water that makes someone live forever. But it doesn't exist, and it actually is a fiction novel. Because it doesn't exist in the dunya, it exists with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in Jannah for the person or in hellfire. Let's take a glimpse at some of these things, and only a few glimpses of the ayat that talk about Jannah in the Qur'an. The ambience, or the atmosphere of the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine yourself now, when you hear these ayats, imagine yourself that after all those days of waking up for Fajr, all those days when you turned away from the haram, that now is your moment to rejoice, now is your time to say Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those people that enter Jannah, they say Alhamdulillah to Allah, praises to Allah that made the sadness go away. Meaning the sadness of working hard, and not that sadness, but they strived in the dunya fearing that they wouldn't be entering into Jannah, and that fear goes away when they enter into Jannah. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وجوه يومئذ ناعمة, that faces on that day will be joyful and radiant, illuminated from the happiness of entering Jannah. لسعيها راضية, happy that they did what they did, happy that they woke up for Qiyam al-Layl, happy that they woke up for Fajr, happy that they threw that riba money in the garbage, happy that they wore their hijab. لِسَعِيهَا رَاضِيَةً, now they know that I'm lucky that I did what I did, and I'm happy that I turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِسَعِيهَا رَاضِيَةً في جنة عالية, in the highest and in the lofty Jannah, لا تسمع فيها لاغية, the atmosphere. You'll see some of these beautiful places, like they'll say, these Hawaiian paradise and stuff. All it takes is someone who talks too much to ruin your entire vacation. Someone who's backbiting, that's sitting right beside you on the cruise ship, and he's talking rubbish, and it'll ruin your entire vacation. But that's not like it in Jannah. With all this beauty, the people that are beside you will never speak laghiya. They will not speak in vain talk. They will not talk about brother so-and-so, what he's wearing, and how sister so-and-so didn't do this or didn't do that. There's no backbiting in Jannah. There's nothing of that. No ghil, no hatred, animosity, nothing of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تسمع فيها لاغية. You will never hear this unsuitable speech in Jannah. And in fact, what they will be saying to each other is salam. Assalamu alaykum. Salam and peace between the people of Jannah. And Jannah, indeed, is the greatest gift that a person can have. I remember once in Masjid Nabawi, and I had spent an entire year reciting the Qur'an to a sheikh there in Masjid Nabawi, hafidhahullah. And when I was coming to the completion, it was like 1 year of just completing the Qur'an one time, learning how to recite the Qur'an properly. I came with a cassette tape to the masjid. And I told the sheikh, I said, "Yeah, sheikh, today is the final day and we're going to finish, you know, juz amma today." I said, "I wanted to record this so that I can give it to my mother, inshaAllah. Because she didn't have the chance to be here with me in Medina. So I'd like, in the summer when I go back in a few weeks, I'd like to take this tape back with me." And so, as we recited the final surahs coming down, until finally when we had completed the Qur'an and the shaykh began making dua. In the dua, he said, "Oh Allah, bless Muhammad's parents with crowns of light on the Day of Judgment." Okay, he said this. Because, you know, he knew my mother was going to listen to it later on. So then when I went back in the summer and everybody's waiting for their gift, this is a watch for you, this is, you know, for this for you. And then for my mother, I pulled out this cassette tape. And then she said, "What's this?" And I said, "Just listen to it." And then, you know, the recitation was going on. And she was listening to it until finally he came to the dua, and she was listening to the dua. And when he said, "Oh Allah, bless Muhammad's parents with crowns of light on the Day of Judgment," she started crying and she says, "Wallahi, this is the greatest gift you could ever have given me. This is the greatest gift that you could ever have given me." And indeed, that Jannah is the greatest gift that a person can ever get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after explaining the ayat of Jannah, He says, "ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ." That indeed, this Jannah is the greatest achievement that a person can ever get. So work, dear brothers and sisters, for this Jannah. Imam Ahmad, and these are the most blessed people that walked on this earth, his son, because of the poverty, they didn't even have money to change their sandals. And they didn't have money, and he would be tortured, and the struggles that he went through. And his son told him, his son Abdullah, and he taught his children like he taught himself. They said to him, "Ya Abi, mata raha?" He says, "Oh my father, When is relaxation going to come? When are we going to finally be relaxed from all this pain and poverty that we're in?" And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah told his son, "بِأَوَّلِ خُطْوَةٍ نَخْطُوهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ." He said, "With the first step that we take into Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala, that's when the true relaxation comes." أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran, وجوه يومئذ. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran, تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم. Speaking about the people of Jannah, تعرف في وجوههم, that if you looked at them, you can see and you can recognize نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ, the illumination and the beauty of the blessing that they're in. The radiant blessing, you can see it in the face of the people of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Jannah, فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ, that they're going to be in gardens and going to be with rivers flowing. And don't think that you have simple gardens. I know you see all the beautiful gardens here, but if you try sitting in the garden, you'll see bugs coming out, and you'll see ants coming to take your food away, and so on. That's not the gardens of Jannah. Fi jannatin wa nahar. These are the rivers that a person can dip their hand into the river and drink from the river. In Jannah, when a person imagines fruit that he wants it, then it'll come down to him. And he won't even have to, just the pain of having to reach out and grab the fruit, won't be in Jannah. The person will want the fruit and the fruit will come to him. And then he'll just take it and eat it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the greatest blessings in Jannah, في جنات ونهار في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. That they will be in a noble and a blessed position over all of humanity, في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. Near and close to Malik, a sovereign, omnipotent king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see when Asiya alayhi salam, when she was being tortured by Fir'aun, she said, رَبِّ بِنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. She said, Oh Allah, build me a castle, build me a home beside you in Jannah. I want to live beside you, Oh Allah, in Jannah. And when a person really loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't want to miss out being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And they want to turn away that haram and push that haram away so that nothing stands between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being able to live near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. Dear brothers and sisters, this Jannah is something that a person builds in his life now. You are now building today, yesterday, and tomorrow. You are continuously building your houses and your gardens in Jannah. Some people build it with proper bricks, and some people try building these gardens in Jannah with sins. And believe me, castles in Jannah don't grow from sins. There once was a pious slave who had a master who was very much disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he wanted to teach him the ill ways and the wrong ways that he was doing. And so he once, when the new farming season came, he found his opportunity. The master told him to plant wheat. And so he said, okay. He went and he took barley seeds and he planted the barley seeds and he left. And as the time went by and the seeds started growing and they started coming out, the master recognized that these were barley seeds and they weren't wheat seeds like he had told them. And it wasn't coming out as wheat. And so he took the slave and he started beating him. And he said, didn't I tell you to plant the wheat? Why did you plant the barley? And the slave said, while he's being beaten, he said, I planted the barley hoping that it would come out as wheat. I planted the barley hoping that inshallah it'll come out as wheat. And he said, you're crazy. He said, how can you plant seeds of barley and expect it to come out as wheat? And then he stopped and looked at him. And he said, how can you plant seeds of sin and expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? How can you plant the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope for a faraway pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're planting the seeds of hellfire and hoping that it's going to come out as Jannah. And when he said this, the slave master was quiet and he did tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he told him that you are free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he'd return. Because just like in these simple dunya matters, a person understands these things. When it comes to Jannah, the people hide it and close their hearts to the reality of the situation. A poet once said, لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كان قبل الموت يبنيها. He said that there's no home and no castle for a person in after he dies except the castle and the home or the place that he was building before he died. That's the only place that he's going to be going to. فَإِن بَنَاهَا بِخَيْرٍ طَابَ مَسْكَنُهُ. That if he builds it with khair, with good deeds, then the beauty and the architecture of that castle, inshallah, will be beautiful. وَإِن بَنَاهَا بِشَرٍ خَابَ بَانِيهَا. That, and if he builds it with sins and the disobedience of Allah, it's not the architecture that's going to be messed up and looking not so nice. خَابَ بَانِيهَا. The person who tried building it is going to be in trouble. dear brothers and sisters, with all, and you can go on and on, of the blessings for the people in Jannah, but there's one blessing that goes above all the blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the people who are going to fire enter fire, and when the people are going to Jannah enter Jannah, and then it's closed, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them, and then they all come, and then they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ مِن شَيْءٍ أَزِيدُكُمْ. Is there anything else that I can increase you in? Now you're looking at Jannah, and everything that the person wants is there in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what more do you want? هَلْ مِن شَيْءٍ. Is there anything more that you want? And then they'll say, يَا رَبَّنَا. They'll say, oh our Lord, أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا. Didn't you make our faces illuminate? أَلَمْ تُنْقِذْنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. Didn't you save us from hellfire? أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ. Didn't you enter us into Jannah? What more could we ask for? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَكْشِفُ عَنِ الْحِجَابِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will uncover the veil between Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people of Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be nothing in Jannah more beloved to them than seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. The reward of faith is to seeing, the reward of believing in the unseen is to see that on the Day of Judgment. You believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya even though you didn't see Him, and then the reward on the Day of Judgment is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the faces on that day will be illuminated, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ, looking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. Dear brothers and sisters, do we really want this Jannah? Do we really want to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we want to stand beside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and have on our left and right Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali? Do we want to be with Abu Hanifa inshallah and Imam Malik and Imam Al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad? Do we want to be with these people? Are these the people we love? Do we want to be with Khadija and Aisha and Fatima? Or who do we want to be with? Our hadith we said was Al-Mar'u Ma'aman Ahab. The companions, they were scared because they knew the Prophet ﷺ was better than them. And they knew there were certain companions that had a higher position. They said, Ya Rasulullah, they said, will we see you on the Day of Judgment when you enter into the high places? The Prophet ﷺ told them, and this was the most beloved hadith to them, Al-Mar'u Ma'aman Ahab. He said, you will be with whom you love on the Day of Judgment. If you don't love the Prophet ﷺ like you love things on television, and you shun away this when you don't know anything about these people, then do we truly love them in our hearts? Do we truly want to be with them inshaAllah ta'ala in Jannah? Dear brothers and sisters, it's something small and you may ask, how do I work for this Jannah? And how do I work for it? And I tell you inshaAllah ta'ala, and hopefully only, if only a few, a small percentage of us here do this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshaAllah will be happy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy than any human being with the tawbah of His slave. When he repents to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most happy with that servant. And if the person comes, puts his hand out, Allah puts His arm out, and when the person comes walking, Allah comes running. I tell you, dear brothers and sisters, let's make a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a pledge with money, but a pledge of your time. If someone had an airplane flight in the morning and he was leaving at 5, he would put his alarm on at 3 o'clock so he wouldn't miss that airplane flight. And if a person, and some of the children here will know that if there's Saturday morning cartoons, that they'll wake up early in the morning to turn on the television to watch those cartoons in the morning. But I tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down not only in Laylatul Qadr and not only in Ramadan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down every single night in the last third portion of the night and says, هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ فَأَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ. Is there anybody who's going to make dua, so I'll answer his dua? هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Is there anyone who's going to do istighfar, ask for forgiveness, so that I would forgive that person? I tell you, dear brothers and sisters, let's put our alarms on just one day. Just put it at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. Put your alarm on and wake up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
to pray only two rak'ahs, only two, and you can go back to sleep after that and wake up for fajr. Two rak'ahs, and in sajda, think of one sin, just one that's standing between you and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah to forgive you for that sin. May we all do this. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for that one sin and promise that we're not going to go back to that sin after we get up from that sajda. Promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshaAllah, Allah will forgive you and Allah will be happy with you, inshaAllah. And when you're there and your face is on the floor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can remember your brothers in Palestine. And believe me, that dua will come very high to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you remember everything, the sadnesses of your dunya, that's where you ask for the mercy to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحيته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لعن كفرة أهل الكتاب الذين يكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم اللهم زلزل أقدامهم اللهم أنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا يرد عن القوم المجرمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر الله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة.